Call to order this regular assembly meeting in the city of Burr of Langville, Alaska, July 28, 2015, at 7 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Steve Pizanka, after which, if you'd please, remain standing for the invocation to be given by Don McConnell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in your word you have given us a vision that the holy city in which the nations of the world bring their glory. Behold and visit, we pray, the cities of the earth. Renew the ties of the mutual regard for which our civic life. Send us honest and able leaders. Enable us to eliminate poverty, prejudice, and oppression. And justice, and apply justice with order, and the men and the women from different cultures with different talents may find with one another the fulfillment of their humanity. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
We do have a presentation this evening by Rangel Commissioner Gerald. Go ahead and come forward.
Ready for me?
Yep.
My name is Brenda Schwartz-Yeager, and I'm a member of the Rangel Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we had some interesting numbers we wanted to share to you, and I believe you have them in front of you. Maybe you have had a chance to look at them. So while we were working with the waterfront development plan and things like that, Ray Coast Data had discussed with a number of us, and it kind of created more questions in our mind. And so we contracted with Ray Coast Data to kind of complete the picture, since they already had much of the data that we needed to try to understand the visitor industry and its impact on its contribution to the local economy. And recently got the results of that somewhat brief and a little bit hard to put together numbers, but much of the pieces of the puzzle were already there because they'd done such in-depth research when working on the waterfront development plan. And so we got those and we found them really interesting and kind of a snapshot of our visitor industry and a comparison of a couple of different years. And we found out that it is the second largest contributor to our local economy, as far as the second to the marine industry in the private sector. We feel like the report's probably conservative if you get a chance to look at it, but it still shows how important this industry is to our economy. Some of the numbers might seem low, it might say 100 jobs, but keep in mind that since a lot of those are seasonal, she had to take like three or four of those jobs to count as one full-time annual jobs. And that number didn't include the jobs of people that were self-employed, like a tour operator who owned his own business and operated his business and made his livelihood from it. Those wages weren't really counted as a job in that. It was more like employees. So we feel like the numbers are conservative, but it was just over $4 million contributed to the local economy in 2014 specifically as a result of the visitor industry here in Rangel. So maybe you get a chance to take a look at it, and if you guys have any questions, we can try to address them.
Anyone have any questions? Comments? Thank you very much. I found it very interesting reading through it, and, you know, a lot of information there I was not aware of. Roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake, Persanka?
Here.
Rooney?
Here.
Decker? Powell?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Anyone have any amendments?
Yes, item number
13J. We would like to remove that from the agenda.
Anything further? Conflict of interest.
I have a conflict of interest for 13H, which at that time I'll step down.
Okay, that's pretty understandable. Consent agenda. Have a motion to approve the consent.
I have a motion to approve the consent agenda 6A, 7A, and 7B.
A second.
Good move, second, and any discussion? You can tell it's been a while.
We'll catch up.
Hearing none, poll roll, please.
Assemblymembers Prisanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 8, Borough Manager's Report.
Just a couple things. First, I'd like to thank Frank Rappel, his generous donation both to the library and City Hall. He donated some Alaska books to the library and a bunch of office product type things to City Hall, and so we appreciate that, and we'd like to thank Mr. Rappel. Also, I'd like to, as you know, the pump stations, sewer pump stations that we have two of them, and initially we applied for a grant. We received the grant, and then with the grant we did engineering, and when we were done with the engineering, it was discovered that we had about 60% of the money that we needed. We didn't think it was going to be near that expensive, so I would like to thank members of the staff for doing two things, Carol Rushmore, Lee Burgess, Amber Oladad, and Ruby McMurrin, that they went back to the initial grant person and were able to get additional funds from them. Then we needed matching money, and we had originally had a loan from DEC that we could use for the matching, but the staff went after a USDA funding, and initially they said, well, we can give you a loan for the matching portion, and we basically kept hounding them saying we need grant money, and so eventually they gave us a $90,000 grant. We're still working through the process, and part of it, a $90,000 loan roughly, and a $90,000 grant, which is later in the, to approve that later in the thing. So I'd like to thank them. They could have taken the easy way out. They didn't. They put in a lot of time. There's a lot of data that USDA requires, and they put a lot of time in both of these grant amendments on both sides. So basically saved the city probably $350,000 between the two grant additions that we got. So I would like to thank all that were part of that. Also, tomorrow you may see some folks out at the Byford junkyard. EPA will be in the morning plane, and they will kind of starting their process with the cleanup. It sounds like they are going to be reviewing it, getting an idea of the lay of the land out there as far as just you know, what it's going to take to do it, see how it's laid out, things in Wrangell, because it is going to be a rather large cleanup. It's been identified as a Superfund money. I don't know exactly if that's good or bad, but they do have some money. If they don't have it all, it's estimated to cost about $4 million for the cleanup. They will initially do the kind of the hot spots that were identified, and then later, if they don't have all the money, they will do it in a couple of phases. So you'll see some folks out there. I don't know if they'll have suits on or whatever, but you'll see them out there. So that will be happening. Also, the city We talked a while back about we were starting a safety program. We kind of had been doing it anyway, but with our insurance company, where we can save up to, we could save close to about $40,000 a year by doing this. It's going to take some effort, time on a bunch of people's part, all the departments. We had a kickoff meeting. We've kind of got the program together, went over what each department needs to do. There's still some other steps, and we're working on that, but hopefully that will save us some money down the road, and that started. Also, the contractors program will be advertised in the paper this week?
It was last week
started. Oh, last week, okay. And so we'll be collecting contractors' information through the end of August, and then September 1 we will start that program. Mike Allen, that has been a challenge. Initially, because mental health is involved in it, and initially what we're going to do is we do a contract with Mike, and then he would deal with mental health or the state for the access road over by the highway to put that in the driveway permit. And well, mental health, because they weren't getting anything out of it, they wanted the assurance from the city, so they're requiring that the city have the contract with them for our person to go over their land. So if something happens, we're on the hook. So I've been working with the attorney so that we have one agreement with mental health, which satisfies their requirement, and then we have another agreement with Mike that includes all their requirements and his stuff, but that's how we had to do it. So we've been working on that, and I think we're
just about there.
We just need one thing from our insurance company, and we can send the stuff off to mental health. Mike, he's already come in and signed his stuff and provided his insurance and all that. So hopefully, and we did do a phase one and phase two. We did a phase one where it was the things that he could access without going through mental health. There's a handful of trees there. We did that so he could just keep going, and then we'll do a phase two, which is the part that he'll have to go through mental health on. But we're almost there on that, and we've been working with Mike and mental health and the attorney on that. So, but just because of the mental health thing, that threw another wrench into it, another bunch of legal work that had to be done. So anyway, we're getting there. And that's about it. Oh, yeah, under mine, I'd like to, Marla Sanger is under the borough manager's report, so if she would like to do her report for the hospital.
Thank you. Marla Sanger, 223 Front Street, or First Street, I'm sorry, and I'm here to do an update from Wrangell Medical Center. And I do have something I'd like to hand out, if I may. So one of the things that was asked for last time I was here was a rundown of our administrative travel. Actually, this is everybody's travel. And as you can see, we don't have a lot of travel going on. This is going back to the beginning of the calendar year. Most of the travel that has occurred since then is has either been covered, part of it by Air Miles, some of it is covered by ASHNA, and if none of it were covered by, well, some of it is covered by people's personal, you know, paying out of pocket. But just the items that if ASHNA hadn't participated, then it would have been closer to $5,000. So getting the help from them is very good. And we're still very careful about when we go and where, that we actually get value out of it, because even if it's paid for, if there's not value derived, then it's still a waste of time and energy. So we're pretty careful. And we'll continue to be doing that. It's just good stewardship. Regardless of, you know, where we're at financially. So is this helpful? This is, I believe, the same format that the City Borough uses. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Any questions about the travel?
Well, you see, people are paying out of their own pocket for travel?
Some
for
people.
Work?
Occasionally. Mm-hmm. For example, I felt like it was really important to go to the legislative fly-in. We were really on a very hard clampdown on travel then. I wanted to be able to meet with the legislators, which I was able to, and spend some pretty significant, meaningful time with them. So I didn't want to forgo that opportunity, was able and willing to make that work. And I know there's been a couple other times when other people have done that too. So it's a personal choice. And it's a commitment to the organization, I guess I would also say.
Any further questions?
Anything else? Okay, I still have a little bit more. Okay. But I did want to make sure that was what you were looking for. So now we're in the beginning of the new fiscal year. And so for the month of July, I got an update on our cash flow. As of today, we have almost, it's $488,929 in the bank, which is a little bit lower than many of the months last fiscal year, but not a whole lot different. So we're actually fairly stable, other than the fact that we had some significant charges from CMS, which I think you've probably heard about in the past, but they're coming, we knew they were coming, now they're coming. And this is the reason that we are seeking a line of credit. That's one of the reasons. The other is that we just feel that with this, the TruBridge transition, that there may be a little bit more variability in our cash flow while we're getting up and running with that. Although that may not turn out to be true, it's not costing us very much to get to our go live. So that may not be true, but it's an unknown. And Doran felt, and I agree with him, that it's really important to have that cushion for those unknowns. So that, I believe, is going to come up later on in the agenda. Is that right? And so I will maybe ask for questions then. Would that be the appropriate time? Okay. So the other thing that I wanted to share with you right now then is that because of the fact that we've got these CMS charges to equaling about $400,000 after we had already paid $200,000 at the time of the around the time just a bit before the cost report. So that's a lot of money in a fairly short period of time, which is why we're being careful and writing that out. And with CMS and with the cost report, the way it works, sometimes you get money back, sometimes you pay money. And the last few years we've been getting money back. This year it's been a paying year. So Marty Michaels, who does our cost report, tries to anticipate and smooth things out as much as he can. But other people I've talked to, like Ken Tonges, the CEO in Ketchikan, and Doran, who's worked a lot of different places in small hospitals, it is just not always able to predict or certainly able to control. So that's why we're trying to make sure that we can be prepared and try to do a better job in the future of, to the extent that we can, have a cushion for those kinds of things. So we've done some cash flow projections going forward that we think will take us through the time of when we have the TruBridge up and running. We go live on August 3rd, and the thing that's exciting about it is the staff actually are really embracing the change, which is not always easy to do. Change is hard, even if you believe that it's going to be good. But we've had a few things that have happened before we've even started with TruBridge. For example, some of the things that need to occur before we can actually get started with them is to have everything that we can do to be caught up done. And we did contract with a person at Petersburg who knows how to do coding, and we had quite a bit of coding that had gotten kind of far behind, and she helped bring all that up to date, so that was very helpful. And now we're able to keep it stable going forward. And how things get behind is we've only had two people that did coding, and if one of them and or the other is gone for any length of time, and that happens for reasons that sometimes people can or can't control, the process is just stop. So one of the things that's happened because of the entering into this arrangement with TruBridge is we have two other people being trained to do coding. So now in the future, when one person is gone, there will be another person that can back them up and keep things flowing. And that's been one of the major reasons that things have bogged down in our cash flow. That all has to be caught up before TruBridge can really be effective. So the staff are pretty excited about that because some people are getting training that they didn't anticipate, and they were actually really excited about getting to learn some new skills. So for the cash projection for July of 2015, we had estimated that we would end up with a cash balance of about $404,000. And as of July 28th, it's $424,331. And for August, we anticipate that it will be $403,625. And this is after, again, what we, our beginning balances plus the deposits that we anticipate, which is, you know, there's some unknowns there, but it's based on historical as well as what we know is on the horizon. And then also in August, we're expecting our high-tech payments. And so that's factored into here too. And then in September, this is when we think we'll be kind of reaching a low point. And again, that's partly because of having to pay this money back to CMS and also just projecting that there might be some costs with the transition to TruBridge, although again, that there may not be any. And at that point, we could be down as low as $203,625. And we're being very conservative on this. And then by that time, we are hopeful that we will start seeing some results from the TruBridge partnership. At Petersburg, they had made their dramatic results within a year. And since what they start working on a lot of times is the older accounts first, actually it's not first. They do everything simultaneously. But where we might get the results first is from some of the older accounts. So we're hoping that within the first couple, 3 months, that we'll start to feel some relief in terms of our AR going down and our accounts receivable going down and our cash increasing. So, yes.
So September 203 cash balance projection, is that post or pre-paying off the liability for the clawback?
That's in that. Those are in these numbers that you're talking about, the CMS payments. Yeah, that should be in these numbers. Mary Jo's been tracking that like on a daily basis.
Okay, so you're anticipating $203,000 after paying back this. Is it called CMS?
Yeah, we're not paying it in lump sum. They're actually just taking it as they go along. So instead of, if they owe us money, instead of paying us like they normally would, they're just holding it back. And that's something that we can anticipate. So Mary Jo's been factoring that all along.
And no, and that number does not include dipping into a potential $500,000 line of credit.
No.
Okay.
We think that if we have a need for that, we think that it would be potentially around September, October. But we are hoping not to use it at all. We still think it would be a good thing to have. It's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. It's easier to smooth the flows ahead of time, get ahead of it, than to be scrambling in the last minute. So that is the purpose for that request. Any other questions about what I've presented so far? Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Borough Clerk's file.
I have just a couple of things. As you can see in my report, Assemblymember Rooney will be traveling to Ketchikan next month for the AML Summer Legislative Conference. And then upcoming in September, the Southeast Conference Annual Summer Meeting, Assemblymember Decker has expressed her interest in attending. And if there's no objections, I'll start making those arrangements since it's in Canada. And I did budget one assembly member to go to that. So, and then the election's coming up. So and here it's your new.
You get so excited.
So October 6th. So next month, all next month is declaration for candidacy. And so yeah. And then the election flyer should go out. Mid to late August, I attached to the report and sent that out to all of you, and that's been reviewed by the attorney, and that's what they suggest we go with.
Any questions or comments?
Congratulations on your Master
Thank
Municipal
you.
Clerk
Thank yes. you very much.
Certification. Good job.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Item 10, Mayor Assembly Reports and Appointment. 10A, are there any reports by assembly members? Yes.
It's Ms. Forsman. Yes. I would like to request that we get the minutes from the hospital board in our packets. We don't get those, but we get the school board and others, so mm-hmm. I think it would be nice to see that.
Yeah, I think that would be.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mayor?
Yes?
I can send Chris an email and request that from her, and I'm sure she'd be happy to mm-hmm. send those to me once they're approved every month. Sure.
Okay. Anything further? Item 10B, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Planning and Zoning Commission. As of this time, there has not been a letter of interest for that position, so we're going to keep advertising for that. Hopefully, well, depending on what happens with our one item on the agenda, that might change in this month. Item 11, persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have the opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item of any person. Okay. This is the only time you will be allowed to speak on any item on the agenda. One person just signed up, Paula Rack.
My name is Paula Rack. I live at 7 miles of Moby Highway. And I'm going to reread the letter that I did at the workshop just so it's officially in the record. I'm talking on the temporary use permit request to store crab pots and other onshore activities associated with commercial crabbing in an upland area near Tom's Place. I am opposed to the granting of the temporary use permit for the storage of crab pots and other commercial crabbing gear on Wrangleboro land near Tom's Place. There are many commercial fishermen in Wrangle, and if precedence is set, other persons may also want to store their gear. Although Mr. Mitchell may well be willing to respect the public's property, the next person may not be as conscientious. The assembly will not be able to pick and choose who they think will leave the place clean and who will not. I have seen conditional use permits and variances written with many stipulations. However, there has been little to no enforcement of these stipulations. Thus, they go unheeded. One example is the use of the Shoemaker Bay area by Mr. Masson. He has not followed his permit since the very beginning. I have spoken with Planning and Zoning Committee many times. They are not a policing body. The property that Mr. Mitchell is requesting to use is away from town. Enforcement or policing would be even more difficult due to the remoteness. Mr. Mitchell has other options open to him for storage of his fishing gear away from public borough land. He stated he has a float for this purpose. He also owns beachfront property near the 6 Mile Mill. I believe that he has submitted plans to develop the tidelands for boat access.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 12, unfinished business. 12A, proposed ordinance number 904, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending Chapter 13.12 of the Wrangell Municipal Code to rename the chapter Parks and Recreation Department and add a new section establishing fee schedules for use of parks and recreation facilities. This is a second reading.
Move to adopt ordinance number 904.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Persanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13A on the new business. Proposed resolution number 07-15-1323. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing for the amendment of the job description for the recreation coordinator.
Move to adopt resolutions number 07-15-1323.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, proposed resolution number 07-15-1324, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the assessment value for tax year 2015 for Greg and Doreen Perviance, lot 11A-2, 11.5 miles of Mobia Highway, due to a manifest clerical error.
Move to adopt resolution number 07-15-1324.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Yes.
Just real briefly, what happened when the assessors came in, they make changes to our property record cards, and in there it was the correct amount. And when that information was moved from there and they moved it into the computer, the database, there was an extra six put in there, so their property, instead of 165,000, was 1 million something all of a sudden. And so it was a typo. It wasn't anything. The correct assessed value was on the card, and so the state assessor allows things like this where it's obviously a clerical error to be corrected.
And I hope it didn't cause them too much anxiety when they got their...
Might have.
Anything further? Roll, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, proposed resolution number 07-15-1325. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, formally submitting a municipal harbor facility grant application to the State of Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities in the amount of $5 million for the Shoemaker Bay Harbor Project.
Move to adopt resolution number 07-15-1325 to submit an application to DOT NPF for the completion of the Shoemaker Bay Harbor Project.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion? Yes.
Just quickly again, this is the matching money we need to, we have about 5.7 available to match this. It's about a $10.5 million project. And if we are successful, our application has to be in by September 1st. Carol Rushmore, along with Greg and our engineers and other people, are helping writing this so it looks as good as we can possibly get it. And if this is approved, the plans are actually pretty much done. And so if this is approved down the road, we would be ready to go out to bid and start refurbishing Shoemaker Bay.
Thank you. Any further discussion? Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, proposed resolution number 07-15-1326, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, to accept a loan in an amount not to exceed $91,000 and to accept a grant from the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development.
Move to adopt resolution number 07-15-1326, approving a loan agreement not to exceed $91,000 and accept a grant with the U.S. Department of Agriculture Rural Development for the rehabilitation of two sewer pump station projects.
Second.
Any discussion?
I kind of talked about this once.
Right.
So if anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Roll vote, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, Approval of a post-procurement expenditure to BW Enterprises as a sole source provider for rock crushing services.
I move to approve a post-procurement expenditure to BW Enterprises as a sole source provider for rock crushing services in the amount of $72,720, which will be shared cost between the streets, water, and sewer funds.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
Jeff, was there anybody else that expressed interest in bidding this? Brett, the only one that bid it?
At the time, we didn't bid it. What happened was initially the crew went out to see how much rock was out there. It was estimated at that time that there was the volume was going to be less at the rate that he gave us, that it was going to be under $25,000. We were sole sourcing that under my ability up to $25,000, because to my understanding there's not another crusher in town. I believe Amber checked on that. And what happened was, and it was certainly our fault not to put something in there not to exceed that amount. There was a lot more volume than anybody anticipated. So the amount escalated from the 25 or that range to roughly 72,000 or whatever it was. And it was certainly a error on our part. A couple things in the future, when we do the contractor's thing, there is actually the contract they will sign does not allow the city to pay them any more than the initial agreed upon without written approval. That will help that part of it. Anything else we will do, we will talk to all the departments, and everything we will put out from now on where there's any question about that, it will be have not to exceed without a written authorization. So we'll do that. It was a mistake made, and I know Amber would like to throw herself on the sword for this, but I can also would like to defend her, because I know how many things she is juggling and trying to get them all done. And I also know that when that happens, when you're hurrying and you're trying to find time someplace to do the other things people want you to do, oftentimes we take shortcuts and because you want to do all the different things and all these other projects we've been talking about, they spend a lot of time on them, but sometimes the attention to detail doesn't happen. And so certainly it's something we want to correct for the future, but I also know that oftentimes staff is scrambling to get different projects out and done, and all that takes a tremendous amount of time, and every little detail that you do, one missed thing, then you're in trouble. You do 100 things right and nobody says anything. You do one thing and you're crucified. But I would also like to say that during the period that she's been here anyway, that she's been involved in probably $50 million worth of public projects. And for the most part, all of them have gone very smoothly. Some very large project, all the different phases out here on the Marine Center, the dock. There's a big, we spent $4.7 million on the dock, Front Street. The list goes on and on and on. And so, certainly, there are good things that need to be mentioned also, I guess, when there's something that isn't so good. So, I guess that's what I'd like to say. And if anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.